Chapter 19. Today's lesson is going to focus on the verses that are found in the fourth reading. Pasuk Chav Gimel, Chav Dalet, and Chav Hei, verses 23, 24, and 25. So just to bring everybody up to speed, the angels, having left Avraham Avinu, now they set out for Sodom. And their mission is destruction. But another mission is rescue. So it's the cities of Sodom, the Sodom area, that have to be destroyed. And Lot was going to be rescued. And Lot is rescued, with the exception of his wife, who later gets dragged into the conflagration. And we're going to focus on the actual destruction of the city of Sodom today. So Lot has just escaped. Verse 22, Ma'ir Himolet Shoma, run quickly. There's one little city called Tzoar that's going to be spared in the entire region. And Lot takes cover. And the Torah says now, the narration of the Torah says, Hashemesh Yotzo Al Ha'aretz, sunrise. Sunrise, Velot Ba'Tzoar. And Lot comes to the place called Tzoar. So Rashi tells us that this business of... Sorry, we don't have any Rashi on Chav Gimel. But we're going to see this is... We're going to come back to this in a moment. Lot comes to Tzor, it's just at sunrise. Verse 24, V'Hashem himtir al Sodom ve'al Amora, God rains down on Sodom and Amora, gofris v'esh, me'es Hashem min ha'shamoyim. God rains down on Sodom and Amora, sulfur and fire from God, me'et Hashem min ha'shamoyim. Let's take a look in Rashi. V'Hashem himtir, God rained down. Says Rashi, kol mokim shenemar v'Hashem, whenever it begins with a vav, which a vav is like an add-on, and Hashem. So whenever it says, not just Hashem himtir, but v'Hashem, this means that it's hu ubed dino. So to speak, euphemistically speaking, obviously, God and his courts. So that's the question over here, of course, could be asked, what does it mean, kol mokum? There are many places where it's impossible to say this. Like, v'Hashem shomayim asa, God made the heavens, was Hashem bez dinay. The v'Hashem pakad asara, God and his courts. So really it seems it's not just from the vav alone that we're saying this. Because if it fits into the syntax of Scripture, then it's not a question. The question becomes when the vav is unusual, when the vav is seemingly superfluous over here. And that means to say then, what does it mean, Hashem ubez dinoi? That even though the terminology that the Torah uses, if you look inside the Chumash, you see it's Yud Kei Vav Kei, it's the name of God, which is symbolic of Hashem's mercy. Nonetheless, that name of God, which usually is symbolic of a divine expression of mercy, becomes a vehicle of judgment. And that's the meaning of Hu Beth Dino, that, so to speak, that Hashem, because he is meting out punishment to the wicked, it means that the name or attribute of mercy is now mixed with the attribute of judgment. So that means Hashem Hu Beth Dino, that the idea of din, the idea of judgment and severity, it becomes engaged. So that's how Rashi explains the unusual beginning of V'Hashem. Himtir al Sodom, he rains down on Sodom. When did this happen? Now this is why I started from verse 23. This did not actually happen at sunrise. This happened exactly now, Ba'alot HaShachar, at daybreak. As it says, only a few verses earlier with regard to Lot being saved, Ukumo HaShachar Allah, just as morning was rising, which refers to the morning star. Why is the timing so important? Why do we emphasize just at daybreak and immediately afterwards the Torah says Hashemesh Yotza? So we want to talk about daybreak and sunrise, but those are actually two different times. Daybreak, you can't see the sun, and sunrise is when daybreak is finished. Why does the Torah seem to put both of them together? And Rashi's answer is, quoting our sages, that this is the time, Sha'a, Shahalavona, Omedet, Berekia, Im Hachama. the time when it's possible to see both. So on your way over here this morning, if you looked up, I don't know, as I did, because I was talking about the supermoon, you want to see the moon, it's kind of cloudy, you can't really see it so well, you saw the moon, right? The moon is setting. It was now on the west side. But it's too soon to see the sun. In a little while from now, the sky will get lighter. You'll actually see the sun, and you'll still be able to see the moon. Because just when the sun peers over the horizon, the sky is not as brilliantly lit up yet. And you can still see through into outer space, especially when it's a large moon. So that's the time we're talking about. Ashosha halavana, when the moon appears in the sky together with the sun. And why is this? Lefi, because shahoyu mehem evdin lechama. The two big pagan religions of those days were sun worshippers and moon worshippers. If you think creatively, not much has changed. So there was the people who worshipped on Sunday and the people who worshipped on Friday. That was the two. They didn't want to worship on Shabbos. Shabbos is too Jewish. So Sunday, that's why Sunday is called Sunday. There's another school of thought that says they worship the moon on Monday. That's where Monday comes from. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. What we do know is that there were amongst these people, Ovdei Lechama, sun worshippers, Umehem Lalavana, there were amongst them moon worshippers. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Almighty God says, if I'll bring punishment on them during the day when the sun is in the heavens, the moon worshippers will be saying in their dying, gasping, last breath, they still won't learn the lesson. They still will not acknowledge Hashem. They'll be saying, Ilu hayo balayla, ha, had this been at night, this God would have attacked us at night. Halavanam shal meshelas, the time when the moon rules, lehayo charevin, we wouldn't be destroyed. The moon would have protected us. All right, so then do it at night. Vimeporim and balayla, if it happens, like in a time when the sun is not yet visible, only the moon is visible. So then what happens? You evdi acham, and the sun worshippers will say, Ilu hayo bayoim, had this been during the day when the sun was visible, shachama meshelas, when the sun rules, lo yayinu chareven, there's no way we would have been destroyed. Lakach ksiv, that's why our verse describes the time in seemingly oxymoronic terms. On one hand, we say ukameh hashachar, although we talk about the morning star rising when planet Venus becomes very prominent, because there starts to be a little bit of light in the heavens. And it's the inky blackness or emptiness starts to disappear. We start to have a reflection of light, and because of that, we cannot see into the outer heavens. So the only thing that's visible is the closest star, the closest planet, which is Venus. That's called Alot Hashachar. The morning star rises. But in that time, of course, the moon is still visible. The Nifra Mehem, but Hashem exacted punishment from them. B'shosh Shahachama V'Halavana Moshlem, at the time when the sun and the moon, so to speak, rule. When both are visible in the heavens. And that's why earlier we said, Kamei HaShachar Allah. And here we started off HaShemesh Yatzah. So the sun did arrive, the moon was still in the sky, and that's when this happened. Which just gives us a window into understanding how Hashem wants the Shoyim, he wants the wicked to know that they're being punished, and he wants them to acknowledge God. Even the wicked Hashem wants to acknowledge God. That's part of Hashem's plan. Everybody has to acknowledge God. Rashi finishes off by saying, Himtir, Hashem rained down, Gofres Ve'esh. And he notes that the verse begins with the word Himtir. Now, Himtir comes from the terminology Matar. Matar means rain. And then the verse concludes by talking about, it starts by raining, but it concludes by with sulfur and fire. It says, Rashi, Betchila Matar. It began with rain. V'nase Gofres Ve'esh. That rain turned into sulfur and fire. And it came me'et Hashem, from God. What does it mean by it came me'et Hashem? A funny pasuk. It starts off saying, V'Hashem himtir. And then it says that the gafrit v'esh came me'et Hashem, min Hashemayim. Well, first of all, rain doesn't come from the ground. Rain comes from the heavens. You started off the pasuk saying, V'Hashem himtir. So why do you have to say again, me'et Hashem min Hashemayim? See, the verse is a very, very strange verse. So the first thing Rashi dealt with is not the terminology of the Hashem, which seems to be redundant, but the fact that it starts off with matar and includes with gofres ve'esh. So Rashi explained that. Started as rain, turns into fire. Okay. What's up with the Vahashem himtir? And then me'et Hashem. So Rashi says this is not really an issue. It doesn't, from a perspective of Pshuto Shel Mikra, of the straightforward interpretation, understanding of the verse, does not require additional elucidation. Derech HaMikrois L'daber Kein. That's the way the scripture speaks. For example, Nishei Lemech, the wives of Lemech, we learned about earlier in Parshas Bereishis. V'lei Omar, it doesn't say Noshai, my wives, because he was addressing them. V'chein Omar David, K'chui Mochem Is Avdei Adonechem. He said, take the servant of your master. V'lei Omar Mei Avodai. Even though the servants were speaking. So it should have said, take us along, instead of like in third person almost. V'chein Achashverosh, in the Megillah, says B'shem HaMelech. It doesn't say B'shmi. So Rashi brings a number of examples where we have a third person reference in the scripture. Afkan Omar Me'et Hashem, he says, from God. V'lei Omar Me'ito. Because really it should have said Me'ito, from me. It doesn't say Me'ito. And Rashi says the reason it doesn't say Me'ito is because that's the way the scripture speaks. So it's not a question. Or it doesn't require an answer necessarily. It's interesting to note that the other Rishonim do answer. They do speak about this. The Balei HaTosfos say, so that people should not think that God, so to speak, took fire from the Gehenim, which obviously is a euphemism, and that's what he rained on Sodom. No. Like Rashi said, it began with Matar. Hashem began to rain on Sodom. The Matar turned into fire and sulfur. So really what the Balei HaTosfos say elucidates and clarifies Rashi, that it starts with Matar. It was Hashem Himtir. But the Matar then turned into the concept of fire and of sulfur. Now I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'd like to suggest that when Rashi says, Hu Bedino, that this is him and his house of judgment, that this really actually, as we explained, is a reference to the Midah of Rachamim, God's Midah of mercy, measure of mercy, becoming transformed into a measure of judgment, of harsh and severe punishment, of consequences for the terrible behavior. And we have this idea, we learned about it earlier, that when people do acts of righteousness, then what happens is a negative reality becomes transformed. When the Malachim began to gaze at Sodom, it says the word Vayashkifu. Vayashkifu is like a baleful stare. It's menacing, threatening kind of look. And Rashi notes right away that there is one example in the Chumash where we have the concept of Hashkafa, and that's by Bikurim, the firstling fruit, which are generously given to the Kohanim. And over there it says, Hashkifa, look down, Mima'in Kachcha, from your heavenly abode, Uvarech es Amchas Yisrael, and bless your nation and the land. So over there, we hear something of which is positive, Hashem's blessing. Now how do we contrast that with the idea that Hashkifa is always negative? And the answer is that when people do acts of loving kindness and charity, they're able to transform divine judgment into divine kindness. And here we see the exact opposite. Sodom effectively turned God's positive or kind or compassionate side into the side of harsh and withering judgment. And this, so we have this idea of a transformation. And perhaps, so that everything I said to you says so far, but perhaps there's a link between the idea of the rain turning into fire, which Rashi alludes to, the Balei HaTosfos very clearly articulate, maybe it's the same kind of thing. Water is like this idea of rachamim. Water is tainug, water is pleasure, water is chesed. And maybe what happens is fire, which is gvura, which is very harsh, which is intense, because of their bad deeds, they actually turned the fire, the water into fire, and that's why it's not from Gehenim, but actually, no, it came from a positive source. Water is what brings life to the world. And because of their evil behavior, they turned the source of life into a source of destruction and death. No, disclaimer. I didn't see that, but that seems to be reasonable. The Sefarno says that Hashem did not have clouds gather. Usually when it rains, there's clouds, and after it's very cloudy, eventually the rain begins. He said here was no clouds. And actually what the Sefarno says fits perfectly into Rashi, because Rashi said they looked up in the heavens, and they saw the moon, and they saw the sun. But if it's very cloudy, he can't see the moon or the sun. So that would defeat the purpose. So then there was no clouds here. So the Tefarno says, that's why it says that Hashem himtir al sadeim, and it was a gofris and eish me'eis Hashem min hashamayim, straight from the heavens, not min ha'anonim, not from the clouds. A cloudless sky suddenly began to rain, which is obviously miraculous. That's not within the realm or laws of nature. And that cloudless sky that began to rain had rain that turned into sulfur and into fire, which scorched and destroyed the entire area of Sodom. So the Rashbam says, V'Hashem. V'Hashem refers to the angel Gabriel, Malach Gavriel. Me'es Hashem is from the Shechina Mamash. So I think really what Rashbam, Rashi's grandson, does here is he further articulates the words of Rashi. Rashi said, Hu Bezdinoi. You want to know what that means? Hu Bezdinoi means he brought along Malach Gavriel. Gavriel is the angel through whom, the angel of fire, by the way, where Michal is the angel of water. And Hashem brings along the angel of Gavriel, the angel of judgment. That's Hu Bezdinoi. That's Ve'Hashem. And that's later Me'es Hashem. So what Rashi said on the word Ve'Hashem, Rashbam says we see in the beginning of the verse and the end of the verse as well, when it says Ve'Hashem and Me'et Hashem. Ve'Hashem Gavriel, Me'et Hashem, the concept of the Shekhinah itself, only it would be inverted because the beginning talks about rain and the end it talks about the fire. So it would be a little bit like kind of, I guess a little backwards. But anyway, that's suppose something that the scripture speaks to us. So verse 24 describes destruction. How were the cities of Sodom and Amorah destroyed so far, thus far? How were they, what happened? What happened? They got sulfur on fire. So they were scorched and they were totally nuked with the sulfur. Okay, now the Torah says, Vayahafech es ha'arim ha'el. Hashem turned the cities over. V'yaskol ha'kikar, the whole plain, the whole area. All those who are sitting in the hills that surround it, in the cities that are around, the tzemach adama, everything that grew. Now this is something very different. Let's take a look at Rashi. What does it mean when Hashem says, "Vayahafech es ha'arim"? God turned the cities over. So Rashi says, "Arbaatan," these four cities. We didn't talk about the four cities before. In verse 24, what do we talk about? When God rained, who did he rain on? Sodom and Amorah. Now, in verse 24, after talking about Sodom and Amorah, we go on to verse 25, when it says, Ha'orim Ha'el. Rashi says, what are these cities? What's Ha'orim Ha'el? Rashi is going to explain to us that it's Arbaatan, the four cities. What are the four cities? Sodom, Amorah, Adma, and Sevayim, which we didn't mention now in verse 23. In verse 25, we're mentioning Arbaatan. We refer Ha'orim Ha'el without mentioning the name of the cities. Rashi says it means all four. And he says, Yoishvais Besela. They were all on the same rock. One large rock. Maybe this is a tectonic plate. I don't know. So it's on one common area. And God flips the whole massive area, this tectonic plate. God just flips it over. V'hafchan mulmayla lamata. You got to think of it as if this whole region is on one single plateau, and God just flips the plateau over, upside down. Shenema, like it says in the book of Job, v'chalmish shalach yaday. It refers to this very event, and it says, on the flintstone, he sent forth his hand. Of course, anthropomorphism, God doesn't have a hand, but that's what we describe it as turning a stone over. Now, this is really interesting. This is really interesting because when we say God flips it over, the word of haficha means transformation also. It doesn't just mean, Rashi learns the word hafoch literally, to flip. But the truth is that haficha, like we say on Purim, we say v'nahapochu. Everything was turned upside down. The Jewish people who were slated for genocide all of a sudden became the victors. Those who were in charge of the power play, those who were out to destroy us, all of a sudden were running for their lives. Everything became exactly the opposite. Haman wanted to hang Mordechai. Instead, the other way around. Haman is hanging. So Radak says that the Hafachon is not just referring to the physical reality of a stone being flipped upside down. Radak says we have here a total transformation, which means the cities of Sodom, Vamora, Adma, and Tzveim have been previously described as an Eretz Tova, a beautiful land. We refer to them as a Gan Hashem, as a garden of God. We said it was a Eretz Kulei Mashka. It was a land, the only place in the entire region of Canaan that resembled the Nile Delta, because it had irrigation. And because it had irrigation, because it had natural streams and bodies of water, there was no desert, and they didn't have to worry about rain. So they became very depraved, just like the people of Egypt, actually. They always looked down, never looked up. This was the non-Eretz Yisrael part of Eretz Yisrael. It was the only part of Israel that was not arid, that didn't need rainfall. And this place that was naturally irrigated, this place that was beautiful, lush, and verdant, becomes transformed into the most desolate place on earth. There is no other place on earth where nothing grows, not even cactus. Nothing. Why? Because what happens is Hashem turns it from a land that was full of fertile soil into a land that is totally burnt out. What's there is salt, corrosive salt. That's what's there. And of course, you could visit that place till today. And it's the most barren, the most windswept, the emptiest kind of place in the world. Nothing can grow over there until today. So that's excuse me. That's the idea of Vayapach. Now, interestingly, this Vayapach, which as Rashi says literally means everything got turned upside down, and as the Radak says, explains it euphemistically, it's not mutually exclusive, it's just on a literal level. Rashi says that's what it means of Vayapach. Radak is giving us more of an understanding of it. And as the Sephorno says also, the land became transformed from an area that was inhabited to a place of sulfur and fire. But Rashi doesn't talk about the sulfur and fire this time. He says just means it was flipped over. He doesn't even deal with that. And of course, this begs the question. Why is it in verse 24, when you talk about the fire and the sulfur, we specifically mention the cities of Sodom and Amorah? When it comes to verse 25, when we talk about the cities being flipped upside down, we pointedly do not mention Sodom and Amorah, but rather we say Ha'orim Ha'el, which Rashi says, Ha'orim Ha'el, these cities refer to all four, Sodom, Amorah, Adma, and Tzveim, four cities. That's a striking difference. Two verses apart, back-to-back verses, which begs for explanation.
Where was Lot in all this time?
Lot was in Tzar, you came a little late. Lot just barely escaped. Just before this event happened, Lot got to Tzar. So, let's open up the Biurim book, and we're going to have a continuation. Yesterday's evil will flow into today's. And really something we learned last week also. Page Reish Chaf. Simen Chaf Aleph. Mefurish B'divrei Rashi. We see here explicitly in the words of Rashi, Shekol Arba Ha'arim Nehepachu. All four cities were turned upside down. And this actually is alluded to in greater detail at the very end of the Torah, in Parshas Nitzavim, where Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Jewish people, you think that you can do as you please. You can ignore God. You can live a life that is libertine, immoral, a life that is filled with sensual pleasure and self-gratification, and you ignore the call of Hashem. It's not going to happen that way. Hashem will exact his punishment. You cannot do this forever. And how will Hashem punish you? So actually, the verse in Parshas Nitzavim alludes to exactly what we discussed today. Exactly what we discussed today. The verse says, and I quote from Parshas Nitzavim, "Kemahapechat Sodom va'Amora Adma u'Tzveim." So how do we know that this is all four cities when it says the word Vayapoch? What forces Rashi to say that? Because later on, when we talk about the Hafoch, the turning upside down, which Rashi interprets and explains as being this idea of the stone being turned over, the Torah clearly says, "Kemahapechat," like the turning over of Sodom, Amorah, Adma, Tzveim. The scripture says it openly. It's not like a big chiddush, a big novelty that Rashi is telling us. It says it openly. But that says Kema HaPechat, the turning over. The turning over is mentioned in verse 25. Ulam HaSreifa, but the burning, the fire and the sulfur, muskeret rak legabe Sodom v'Amora. In verse 24, it doesn't speak about the other cities. In fact, it specifically mentions only Sodom v'Amora. When it comes to v'yapoch, the haficha, the turning over, we take a look later at the end of the Torah, Parshas Yitzchak, and we hear that it was the turning over of Sodom v'Amora, Adma and Tzveim. But over here, we do not hear about the sulfur and the fire in all four. It doesn't say Ha'arim Ha'el, it says Sodom v'Amor. Umashma. If you read the verses, just look inside the Chumash. Like, you don't have to use imagination. If the verses are as they appear, what seems to be coming across here is that Adma and Tzveim, lo nisrafu, that Adma and Tzveim were not scorched. Elenebchu bovad. They were just flipped over. V'hadavar derishbir. This should be really understood. Ma ha'hevdil ben ha'arim. All the cities ultimately were destroyed. Why the difference in the methodology of destruction? V'yesh leimar. The Rebbe says, ha'hevdil ben ha'arim. The difference between the cities is something that Rashi has already addressed. We alluded to this yesterday. We learned it in great detail last week. In the previous parsha, where we mentioned the names of the four kings, and we talked about the idea that corrupt leadership necessarily impacts the population. It necessarily happens the way society is impacted by its political leadership. And we talked about the four kings' names were, the name of the king of Sodom was a man whose name was Bera. Mentioned this yesterday also. Not just bad, Ra is bad. Could have been called King Ra. Instead he was King Bera. What's Bera? Rashi explained that Bera is Beis Resha. Now what does that mean, Beis Resha? We said Ra l'shamayim, Ra l'briyos. He was an atheist. He denied God's presence. He violated God's word. But he also mistreated his fellow human. You know, there's two luchot, two tablets. One tablet has mitzvahs that govern our relationship with God, and the other luach governs our relationship with a fellow human being. The next king was, and this is a big chiddush from the Rebbe, because the Rashi doesn't say it openly, his name was King Bersha. Rashi just says Bersha means shenis'ala berishay. He became even more intensely, he upgraded the evil. He gave the evil, he had the app, the evil app. He made it even worse than Bera. And the Rebbe explained that this is Beis Resha, two kinds of wickedness. Just like Beis Ra, Ra l'shamayim, Ra l'bi is bad to heaven, bad to his fellow human being. So Bersha was even worse. That's Sodom and Amora. How about Adma and Tzveim? Well, Adma had a king whose name was Shinov, which Rashi explained as a conjunctive word, meaning Sona Aviv Shubashamayim. He hated heaven. Shinov. And the next king was Shemever. Shemever, Rashi explained conjunctively, was making a reference to some Aver. He placed a wing. He decided to glide into the heavens, thinking he would be able, limited by Kadosh Baruch Hu. He wanted to shake his angry fist at God from a high place. Okay. So it comes out that Shemaver and Shinov, who hated God, wanted to fight God, their sin, they were the kings of Adma and Tzveim, their sin was primarily Bein Adam Lamakom. They violated the contract with God. They behaved badly towards God. However, Sodom v'Amora did not just behave badly towards God. They behaved badly towards people. Because they were Bera and Bersha, Bezra, Ra l'shamayim, Ra l'briyah. He's bad to heaven, bad to people. So we have this idea that if the kings were bad, that was a reflection of the society. Bad rulers, bad people. Corrupt government, corrupt society. It goes together. Therefore, we said, Zakat Sodom v'Amora, we learned yesterday. It doesn't say the cries of Adma and Tzveim. It says, Zakat, the cries of Ad Sodom v'Amora. What did we learn about yesterday in our class? What was the cry? That poor young lady who gave tzedakah, who was stripped and doused in honey, and died from hundreds of thousands of bee bites, and her blood-curdling cries pierced the heavens. And we discussed yesterday, this is because this idea that when a society is so corrupt, so bad, not only doesn't give tzedakah, it doesn't allow for tzedakah. It doesn't allow for justice. When a society gets that rotten, then it has lost its raison d'etre. It no longer has, so to speak, a right to exist. And this is the idea. There too, it says, not zakatz dom v'amora admo tzveim, it's a zakatz dom v'amora. Because they were much, much worse. Now, in the end, they all have to be destroyed. But we see a difference in the punishment. The difference in the punishment is that Adma and Sveim experience only haficha, only being turned upside down. Whereas Sodom and Amora, prior to being turned upside down, they experience
sulfur and fire.
So what does this mean? So being turned upside down, haficha sa'arim, pagas, it only affects yeshve ha'arim v'tzemach ha'adama. Who does it impact? The people living there, because now they're buried alive, and all the plants. No plants growing anymore. All the fertile topsoil is gone. It's flipped over the other side. Ve'ilu ha'sreifa, but if you had sulfur, it's a corrosive element, and you had fire, that actually destroys the crust of earth itself.
Yes.
It doesn't just turn it over. It goes down into the core essence of that earth. Now, Adma and Sveim, their sin was one of wanton immorality, mass atheism, denial of God. They were punished with haficha. The land itself did not need to be destroyed. Sodom va'amora, who had gone further, not only had they denied God and God's presence and didn't live moral, righteous, holy lives, they decided to oppress and to abuse people. They behaved in a violent, chaotic, out of control manner. Aveda's been Adam l'chaveda. Now you violate the bond between one human and the next. Now you can't behave like a mensch either. And here, Sasru b'kachas etzem kiyum ha'ilam. In doing so, they, in a sense, pulled out the carpet from beneath them. They deracinated the very purpose of existence. They destroyed the very essence of why Hashem made a world, as we learned yesterday. And therefore, because they destroyed the very essence of why Hashem created a world, that whole world has to be destroyed. That earth has to be destroyed. Just like we find with the sin of the Mabul, that the Mabul versus the people who built the tower, the Mabul were rotten, miserable people towards each other. And therefore, it says that the Mabul came and it loosened all the topsoil. The depth that the plow used to penetrate, 3 tvachim, like approximately a foot, that whole area became like stripped. The whole land was stripped. The whole outer layer of earth was stripped off. Why? Because the evil of people eventually permeates the very ground that they live upon. And now we understand, Lefnei Shacheis Hashem Esdoim Va'amoira. There, in Parshas Nitzavim, first it says, before Hashem destroys Sodom Va'amora. And only later does it say, Bahafichas, the turning over of Sodom Va'amora, Adma and Sveim. So just bring it back to the world we're living in today, and their out-of-control society. When society behaves badly and immorally, doesn't recognize the presence of God, doesn't want to follow a code of holiness, it's bad. But when society becomes anarchic as well and starts engaging in violence, these same people who have violated the basic principles of decency and righteousness are now marauding through the streets and hurting other people's property and hurting and beating other people. My dear friends, society has crossed the red line. Now we're really in trouble. And that has got to be reined in. And the political leaders, the corrupt leaders, who refuse to open a mouth to rein this in, are implicated. This is a direct link. This doesn't happen in isolation. And this, the Torah tells us, is something that abrogates the basic decency, God's contract with humanity. And even if you ignore Hashem, even if you live immoral, libertine lives, at least treat each other like men. At least behave decently. Because once you pass that line, then everything is lost.
What was the difference between destroying the world with the flood and destroying this part of the world?
The destruction of the world with the flood was mass. The whole world. This was a portion of the world.
But this was, the way that it was done. One was done with water and sulfur. One was done with fire and sulfur.
Well, let's say this. The water that destroyed the world, in Chassidus, is metaphorized also as a mikveh. And therefore, that part of the world that was washed over in the great mikveh was redeemable. From its impurity, it reached a stage of rehabilitation. Until recently, when they decided to make shampoo and salt out of the salt, nothing came out of Sodom for thousands of years. It's not redeemable. Nobody lives there. It's not inhabitable. And that's the difference between fire and water. Water was a destruction, but but it was also a rehabilitation. The fire was a total destruction.